just feels like something isn't right with Ohio State. I don't necessarily mean maybe not right, but I think it might have been 2015 where we expected so much and like we saw all of the stars and all the different parts, and it never just clicked perfectly until after the loss to Michigan State, when they blew out Michigan, and then they blew out Notre Dame, and they played great in the bowl game. It just feels like it's going to be a situation where it's just not going to all be together.
Hello and welcome to Always College Football. Today is Thursday, November 17th. We appreciate you being with us. Greg McElroy, Mark Kubiak, Jack Foster, thanks so much for joining us. Wherever it is you're joining us from, whether that's ESPN YouTube channel, or if you're here with us via the podcast, please like, rate, and subscribe. It helps us out. It helps the show out. We have a great show in store for you today. It's Thursday. You guys know what Thursdays are all about. It's about the gambling lines. It's about the angles, trying to find some value for y'all. So we're going to try to look at it from every possible angle. Chris the Bear Felica joins the show for that. There's some interesting ones this week, by the way. We've coined this week Lettuce Week. That's according to my friend Cole Kublik. We've coined this thing Cupcake Week. We've coined this thing Look Ahead Week. We've coined this thing Flat Spot Week. Like, there are some really gettable opportunities right now if you know which side to take. But this week's going to be more about the X's and O's. Like, the X's and O's are important, sure, but this is a psychology week, man. Like, who's going to be ready to play? Who's not going to be ready to play? Well, let's see if we can find some angles where they might not be ready to play, and you might be able to find some value. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get to it. It's Chris the Bear Felica.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Every college football season, Goodyear knows the importance of winning on the road. The road will always demand confidence, the confidence to handle whatever the journey brings and to perform under tough conditions. And just like the players and the fans of college football, Goodyear is ready. Are you ready for the road? Visit Goodyear.com to find the right Goodyear tires for whatever road you're on this season. Goodyear, more driven. All right, he joins us every single Thursday. Let's find some angles, let's find some value, and let's find some winners. Bear, how do I not start with a total that jumped off the page? 32.
32.
Minnesota and Iowa. How do you take the over, Bear? How do you take the over?
It's great because Gil Alexander, who I do a show with on VSiN quite often, a good friend of mine, like the first thing he said the other day was, how is this total 32.5? Meaning, how is it that high? But seriously,
right?
I mean, who's scoring? Nobody's scoring. And I mean, the only way this gets to 32.5 is not offensive touchdowns. And I mean, offensively, you've got two bad teams. You've got the massive threat of pick sixes, though. But I sure as heck couldn't take the over in this game. That's for sure.
Or a blocked kick. I mean, hey, it is Iowa after all. I mean, a blocked kick, maybe a couple safeties. Anything's possible, Bear. But I saw that number, and I said, that's what I'm starting the show with this week. Because that is that the lowest total on record that you can – I mean, I'm not kidding. In a college football game, I can't remember one that wasn't weather-related that was anywhere near 32.
Yeah, I can't – I mean, there have been a couple of insanely low – numbers this year, but I don't think any of them have reached 32.5. That's for sure. But again, like you said, how can you in good conscience, like, go in playing the over unless you're just assuming what's going to happen, that you're going to get the non-offensive scores, because you know neither offense is going to.
I can promise you, I won't play it in good conscience, but I'll play it just because I can't possibly justify putting money on an under of 32. Let's get to tonight's action. SMU Tulane, bounce back spot for Tulane Bear.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they still have a path to the conference championship game. Tough loss at home, but again, the fact that you're playing another high powered offense gives you. It's just my feeling on this, and you as a player, I'd love to hear your reaction to this. Is that, like, I always felt like when you suffered kind of a crushing loss like the way they did last week with anticipation, maybe we can finally get a win over a ranked team, and you lose a game like that. I love the fact that they come right back the following week and play another big game against a very formidable opponent, because I think it makes Willie Fritz's job that much easier to get his team prepared for this game.
I do think it's easier to prepare when you know you have a team that can get you the following week. It'd be tougher if, let's say, SMU was like a 14-point dog, for instance. Like, I'd be all over SMU, or a 17-point dog. I'd be all over SMU. But now with Tulane, you know, a 3-point favorite at home, short week, I would just lean slightly towards Tulane. I don't love it because it feels public. Mm-hmm. But either way, I still think Tulane's probably the right side in this spot.
Yeah, I'm looking at a site right now, and it looks like SMU is kind of looks like barely half of the tickets are on Tulane. So interesting. Yeah, I would agree with you. I would have thought more people.
I can live with that. I would have thought for sure there'd be a lot more people on Tulane, but hey, now that I know it's a 50-50, boom, wave, let's ride.
There you go. Exactly.
Moving on.
Stay angry.
To Friday night action. Exactly. Friday night action, South Florida, Tulsa, San Diego State, New Mexico. Can I interest you?
You like
can
that
I interest
lap?
You in anything there, Bear?
No. So South Florida has already locked up the under 4.5 on the season wins. I can think back to the season and before the start of the year, a whole bunch of South Florida fans were very vocal and had a lot of nice, kind words for me when I kind of said my strongest win total of the year. Actually, no, my two strongest win totals of the year were Oklahoma under 9.5 and South Florida under 4.5. And the South Florida fans were very vocal that I was a bunch of things. And here they are, 1-8 now, 1-9. I forget what they are. And then Oklahoma, it was, I think, the earliest.
They're under 4.5. I get. Yeah. Yes, they are. All I know is so that they're under the
number. Those worked out well. But to answer your question, no, I have no feel or no desire to play either of these games tomorrow night, South Florida, Tulsa, or San Diego State, New Mexico.
How do we feel about the stinky line of the week being TCU as a slight 2.5-point favorite on the road at Baylor? Now, Baylor is one of those teams. It's an early start, right? Which I mm-hmm. don't love if you're TCU, but Baylor mm-hmm. right now is a little bit tricky to figure out. And I mean, this line to me, Bear, just stinks to high heaven. Baylor getting absolutely smashed last week, and they had been playing okay in the weeks leading up to it. They obviously knocked off Texas Tech, they knocked off Kansas, and they knocked off Oklahoma. So they've been playing fine, but getting drug last week, 31-3, and now they're just a slight home dog. I want to take TCU, but man, that feels public.
Yeah, no, I love Baylor this week. I think it is a great situation, a great spot. If TCU can get out of Waco with a win this week, it's probably TCU's most impressive win of the season. I mean, the number screams Baylor. The spot screams Baylor. Embarrassed on your home field last week. TCU had the close physical game at Texas, and now you're 3 wins away. You control your fate to get to the college football playoff. It's real. Like, and you look back to last year as well, TCU won one of the few games TCU actually won last year. It's a 2-point win against Baylor. And that 2-point game loss might have kept Baylor from being in the college football playoff. But look, last week, they were terrible on third down against Kansas State, committed a couple of costly turnovers. I would expect Baylor to play a cleaner game. And I think, too, you look at the way TCU's front played, the offensive line, I should say, against Texas, they were manhandled for a good part of the night. Now you get Dave Aranda and the variety of things he can do defensively as well. I don't like the spot for TCU at all. I'm going to be taking the points here with Baylor.
The other thing too, Bear, and tell me your thoughts on this. I actually think that TCU can lose this game and still get to the college football playoff. This is the only one, though, that I think they could survive, because Baylor's just respected enough to where they could say, all right, that's not a terrible loss. You lose a tough one. It's the week after Texas, what have you. But you go on, you still win the Big 12 championship. You're 12-1. I think you're still in the playoff. So I think for TCU, it's one of those, you knew they were going to be up for Texas. But this one, I'm with you. It's just an odd spot. And I think that, you know, there's probably people telling them, hey, man, even if you lose this one, you're still in good shape. And that has an effect on you. See Georgia in the SEC championship game last year.
That's dangerous, though, because I don't think TCU is going to go into that game with that mentality of, oh, we kind of have a mulligan that we can. Yeah, I think they feel like they need to win out. But I'm glad you said I think they can lose this game, because people are asking me, what about a one-loss TCU? Well, I'm like, well, when is the loss? Is the loss this week? Is the loss next week? Is the loss in the Big 12 championship game? Like, the loss can't be in the Big 12 championship game. They need to. I think just the committee psychology, I think they need to be a one-loss Big 12 champion in order to get in. But I agree. People talking about Michigan, like if they lose a close game at Ohio State, like can they still get in? The answer probably is yes. Same thing here. I think if Baylor were to lose a close game, or if TCU were to lose a close game this week and win out, they certainly would have a very viable case to get into the playoff.
Very much so. I think we're on the same page there. USC, UCLA, another massive one involving the playoff. All the pressure feels like it's on SC, obviously. We know how this game went last year, but we know it's a completely different regime. It's a completely different USC team. However, I get the sense that UCLA was looking ahead last week. That performance was unforgivable in many, many ways. And the line is just begging me to take the Bruins. It just feels like a home dog situation. Everyone's going to be on SC. It's 2.5. SC's -2.5 on the road. I know the Rose Bowl is not the most hostile environment, but either way, Bear, it's a sellout. They're fired up for this one. And this feels like the one, too, that Chip Kelly's had circled for like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It just feels like the right time for the Bruins.
Yeah, I can assure you that there is a scrapbook of headlines and stories about football returning to LA and Lincoln Riley and offense, SC and the Pac-12 and playoff. I can guarantee you that is a motivating driving factor for UCLA. But I don't know if it necessarily needs to be, because you hung 62 on them last year and the defense is still bad. For SC, and now Caleb Williams is probably going to be asked to shoulder even more of the load on offense now that Travis Dye is lost for the year with the NBA. That's going to make, I think, in a sense, UCLA's defensive task a little bit easier, that they're not going to have to be as concerned with the running game. I agree with you. I think they were caught last week, absolutely looking ahead to this week's game. I'm with you. I think UCLA is the right side. I'm glad to see that the total in this game, well, I shouldn't say glad, because I would love it to have been a bad number like it's been the last 3 years. But, yeah, last 3 years, totals were in the mid-60s, and you had numbers go flying over that total. Now they adjusted it, rightfully so, to mid-70s. So no value with the total, but I agree. UCLA, I think, is the right side.
Well, I had seen that at Circa, it opened at 82.5. And now, I mean, they all kind of settled in, like you said, right there in the mid-70s.
But yeah, I see
still kind of all over the board as far as the opening spread.
The board.
That's where it is now, yes. But some of the opens were still a little all over the place, but you're right, they condensed. But either way, I'm with you. I think UCLA at home taking the points feels like the right side to me. Let's talk about the look-ahead bowl. We just talked about one with UCLA. Illinois, Michigan, Maryland, and Ohio State. Obviously, Ohio State travels to College Park. Illinois, who's been playing really bad football relative to what they did earlier on, playing against Michigan. Illinois catching 17 and a hook. Maryland catching at home 27 and a hook. I don't know how you don't, and I'm calling Maryland, Ohio State, so I'll abstain. Mm-hmm. But, man, you just look at both those programs, it'd be hard not to consider taking the points, right, Bear? Just given how much of an emphasis there's been all season long and all off season on Ohio State, Michigan.
I get it with Ohio State, Maryland. It is a very high number. We have seen the Buckeyes come out at times this year, start slow, and then kind of win some games in the second half. We saw them a couple of years ago go to College Park and have to survive a two-point conversion to win that game. Like, it was funny. I was talking about this last week with the guys prior to the show, and I didn't really get a chance to comment during the show. It just feels like something isn't right with Ohio State. I don't necessarily mean maybe not right, but I think it might have been 2015 where we expected so much and like we saw all of the stars and all the different parts, and it never just clicked perfectly until after the loss to Michigan State when they blew out Michigan and then they blew out Notre Dame and they played great in the bowl game. Like, they can't stay healthy at running back. Williams is hurt again, and Trevion Henderson, who knows what's going on with him. Jackson Smith and Jigba, is he coming back? Is his hamstring still a thing, or is there something else going on there? It just feels like it's going to be a situation where it's just not going to all be together at some point. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe next week they'll come out and play a complete game against Ohio State. They've been pretty damn good even without all their guys. But, I could get behind potentially taking Maryland, even though offensively they've been so bad in recent weeks. Michigan, I can't see Illinois scoring on Michigan. I mean, Illinois was a great story. They won some close games. Defensively, they were great. But there was always the feeling in the back of my mind, like, you can't continue to win games like this with lack of big play production on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Michigan hasn't been in a game in the fourth quarter all year. I would expect that to continue this week. So if you're asking me who I would rather take, Illinois or Maryland, I would take Maryland.
Gotcha. Because I just feel like there's a lot of this, by the way, this week. Look ahead situations, teams that made it through what was a gauntlet. So it's kind of a letdown spot for some teams. It's an interesting week when kind of looking at the psychology of a lot of these games. Boston College and Notre Dame, I feel like, is another one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to give you another one, too. UAB and LSU. Like, people have like kind of pointed that line out. Why is it only 14 and a half? I go, well, UAB's got a really good back in Dwayne McBride, who will the UAB offensive line be able to open up some holes for him? And if they are a couple, at least they'll be able to shorten that game somewhat. But again, look at what LSU has done the last 4 weeks. You got the win at Florida. You rally for a season-changing win against Ole Miss at home. Probable upset of Alabama. The trap game of all trap games, have to bounce back game at Arkansas last week in the cold weather where Perkins goes crazy being ill. Offense wasn't great. Like, how much does LSU have in the tank physically and emotionally after the last month, knowing that they still got the SEC championship game and they got to go to College Station next week? Look, I don't think UAB is going to go in there and win. It's Tiger Stadium at night, but 14 and a half, it seems like a lot of points for a team that really struggled on offense last week. And I wonder, too, like, I can't prove this or I don't know anything about it, but if Perkins was sick last week and had a bug, who's to say that whatever that bug is hasn't spread throughout the locker room? Maybe some guys might be a little under the weather this week. There's always that chance, too. But I wonder if LSU is going to be able to come out with the same emotion and the same intensity that they have the last month.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. I mean, I still think, like, I saw UAB on the field against an SEC opponent last year in Georgia. I'm not comparing LSU to Georgia, but that thing got sideways. And I don't know if UAB is a team that wants to live at the line of scrimmage, and that's not the fight I want against an SEC team.
No, not against them.
Boston College, Notre Dame, another game where it's kind of look ahead. Notre Dame, SC next week. Of course, the possibility of playing spoiler. Notre Dame's been on a heater too. It's almost like to this week they could kind of exhale and be like, all right, let's catch our breath. And we got one more big one, right, to ramp it up next week. So this feels like a way too many points for me. And I don't like Boston College at all. I think they're terrible. But I also think, too, three touchdowns and change is probably a few too many for me to lay, knowing that Notre Dame probably isn't going to try to pull out their best stuff.
Yeah, but their non-best stuff might be enough in this game. Like I don't think BC right. is very good at all. I agree with you that it is a lot of points. Yes, BC has looked a little bit better offensively in recent weeks, but ever since making the quarterback change because of the injury to Dracovich. But I don't know. This is probably a stay away for me. We've seen BC cover some big numbers in this rivalry before. I get it. I just have little faith in BC, but I get where you're coming from.
What about Utah, Oregon? Feels like a semifinal for the Pac-12 championship game. Losers out, winners in. I know it's a different regime. I know it's a totally different Oregon team. I know it's a totally different Utah team. But after seeing how badly Utah whipped their tail, not once, but twice last year, I cannot, under any circumstances, in good conscience, I cannot lay the points with the Oregon Ducks. I just can't. I know it's an Autzen. I just can't. I saw Utah absolutely work them, not once, but twice. How do you assess this one? Because a short favorite at home makes me think the world will be on Oregon when actually Utah might be the play.
Yeah, Utah might be the play. I have a hard time personally playing in this game until I get a better idea of how healthy Bo Nix is. If Bo Nix doesn't play, Oregon will be having immense difficulty scoring in this game. If Bo Nix plays, obviously I think that goes a long way in helping the Ducks get back after a tough loss against their rival last week. I'm really not interested in hopping in on this until I would be able to get some better information about Bo Nix.
But does Utah being a 3-point dog, does that indicate that Bo is going to play?
I would think it indicates that he is going to play. Yes, because I had asked Chris Andrews at South Point last week when it looked like this potentially could be a game that was in the mix for Kirk and Chris and Holly to go out there and call. And I was curious what the spread might be. And he's like, close to a – I have them power rated pretty equally, which means Oregon would be about 2 or 3, and that's where you are in the game. So, yeah, I do think it would indicate that Bo Nix would play. If I had to play the game, I would probably take Utah, just, again, knowing that it's kind of a helmet game situation for Oregon.
Right. Makes sense. I think it makes perfect sense. How about Georgia, Kentucky? 22 is the current line.
I'm laying it.
It's been around 21.5, 22.5 in that point. You got to lay it, right?
I'm laying it. Kentucky is a bad offensive football
How is
team.
Kentucky going to score?
It's funny because I'm thinking back to even the Kentucky-Tennessee game where people were trying to sell that game. I'm like, how are they going to score? Like they offensively, they have a ton of problems. Offensive line is horrible. People just see potential with Will Levis as opposed to actual production. It's a Georgia team that is highly motivated. I can't see them getting on the board. The game is in Lexington, but Georgia just is too much defensively. I think for Kentucky, I don't think this game is close at all.
I'm with you. What about the other one in the SEC, Tennessee and South Carolina? South Carolina just not. I don't trust them. As simple as that. I don't trust them. It's a big number on the road, sitting at 21.5. But man, I feel like Tennessee, especially after what I saw last week, they're in it for style points right now. Like even if the game's out of hand, they're going to continue to keep the pedal pressed. And if that, they might be inside the number, but if Joe Milton goes in the game, they're not taking their foot off the gas. They're going to keep trying to score because they're trying to impress the committee. Ultimately, they might win by 40, right? So I personally would not feel comfortable taking the point against Tennessee at any point in the remainder of the next two games.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I've seen far too much South Carolina football the last few weeks, having them against A&M, having Vandy against them a couple of weeks ago as well. Yeah, it's a team that really doesn't have an offensive identity. They have a bunch of injuries still at the running back position. I don't know how they score points and keep pace with Tennessee. This is the only way Tennessee has a chance to get knocked off in this game is if it's just one of those weird games where crazy stuff starts happening, turnovers, penalties, non-offensive touchdowns. Like South Carolina is going to have to get probably two non-offensive touchdowns in order to be able to stay within striking distance in this game. Like those are the types of things that I think need to stay out. But you watch Spencer Rattler, it's almost like he isn't taking any more chances, isn't going downfield just because he's scared of making mistakes. Like you look at his interception totals, they're great the last couple of weeks. Like he hasn't thrown many picks compared to early in the year, but like his yards per attempt and completion, it's just not there. It's just a bad, bad matchup. And I think Tennessee goes in there and wins very, very convincingly.
Bear, a couple others, Miami and Clemson, that line's sitting at 19. Goodness gracious, that's a lot of points. Washington State, Arizona, Ole Miss, Arkansas, all interesting games. The fact that the Ole Miss-Arkansas game's at 2.5, that had my mind was a little messed up there. I obviously like Ole Miss a lot more than I like Arkansas, but I think both teams have their issues up front defensively. Is there anything else right now, Bear, that you're kind of hot on or anything that you feel pretty good about?
Arkansas kind of impressed me last week. I thought they played a really good defensive game. They got to Jaden Daniels. We'll see if they can slow down the Ole Miss attack on Saturday. I hate laying points like this with bad offenses in a rivalry game, but how does Cal lose to Stanford? But Stanford is so, so bad. Like doesn't Cal win this game easily? What is it, 5.5, something like that? I'm sure it's going to go up to 6 or 6.5 or maybe even 7 prior to the game. But if you look at, Stanford, I mean, they are just a complete disaster right now. Like somehow they beat Notre Dame because Notre Dame basically gave them the game. But you're looking at it 16, 15, 13, 14, 7. Those are the points their last five games. And the 15 against Arizona State were 5 field goals. Like giving up 38, 52, and 42 the last three. They look like a team that has licked the stamp, sealed the envelope, thrown it in the mail, and they're done. It's going to be a very interesting offseason, I think, they're in Palo Alto. But yeah, I think Cal, there's a rare opportunity for them to lay a number on Stanford, and I think they're going to do that.
What about Louisville, NC State? Anything you like there? I've leaned a little bit towards Louisville at home. NC State, I'm just so thoroughly unimpressed with.
Defensively, they're good on defense. Okay, but how do you lose to BC last week? How do you lose to BC?
They're still ranked in the top 25, Bear.
I know. I don't know how. It just goes to show you how bad, how many average to mediocre teams there are once you get past the top 5 or 6 teams in the country. I have a hard time playing this game until I know more about Malik Cunningham. If Dolman has to play, they're going to have a hard time scoring points against NC State. If Cunningham plays, I would expect Louisville to win the game. Like I knew I was drawing dead last week with Louisville when Cunningham went out. I knew I had no chance of the game. And if Cunningham plays, they might have had a chance in that game because Clemson certainly couldn't put them away. But, yeah, until knowing more about Cunningham playing, and the number is 4. So I don't know if that means I expect him to play or not play. I guess it would probably be more along the lines of leaning that he will. But at the same time, I want to wait and see on this one.
Yeah, I would imagine. Can I talk you into Vandy first half?
Sure. No, I had Vandy a couple of weeks ago against South Carolina, and they moved the ball at will. They just kept turning it over. And they very easily could. I was a week ahead on Vandy. They basically had them the week that they were very live, and they turned it over and didn't win. And then the following week they go out and win as a massive underdog against Kentucky. Yeah, no, I can get on board with Vandy first half.
All right, now we're talking. We're on the same page. The Doors, baby. Knock them down. Florida always struggles with Vandy. I've called this game a couple times.
Oh, you've That's some right.
This is your in this game in the past. This is the traditional McElroy Bowl. Haven't done it in a few years, but yes, have seen this firsthand. This game, for whatever reason, especially in Nashville, is always a little tricky for the Florida Gators, especially. And watch the temperatures. If it's cold, Vandy plus the points all day long. Just saying. So, Barrett, great stuff, man. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we really appreciate the time, as always.
Of course. Can I give you one football play of the non-American football variety? Is that okay, or is that cheating? I mean,
because we got Tottenham the World Hotspur? Cup. Coming.
No. We got the World Cup coming up. League play is ceased for the next 6 weeks or so, as we have the World Cup going on, starting on Sunday. I am typically not a favorite player. I've been looking for other teams, thinking that there could be some kind of goofy results in this World Cup, but I don't see. I think Brazil is far and away the best team in the competition. They've got riches up front. Unlike France, they don't concede goals. They've got a great back line as well, and France is a little injury riddled right now on the back line, complete makeover at midfield. So I like Brazil to win this thing. I think you can still get them at around plus 350 or so, maybe some 4-1s out there as well. So if you're looking for a tournament-long play in the World Cup, I am back in the favorite Brazil.
Now we're talking. All right, Bear, that's the type of action we need. This is always college football. It's just, you know, maybe there's some college-age kids on the Brazil national team. We'll see. Awesome, man. We appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. Starting your own small business can be a total roller coaster. Between all those bumpy twists and turns comes the actual business side of your business, which can really throw you for a loop. Luckily, with QuickBooks, you can manage your business with confidence from the start. So no matter how bumpy the ride gets, you can always stay on track. New business, no problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com. Do you have ambitious hiring goals for the last quarter of 2022? With a powerful hiring partner, big goals are no big deal. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Indeed makes hiring all in one place so easy because it takes 10 minutes or less for most small business employers to post a job, according to Indeed Data US. Indeed also has a jaw-dropping pool of talent. In fact, 3 out of 4 U.S. online job seekers search for jobs on Indeed each month, according to Comscore. Join over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to sponsor your job post at Indeed.com/always. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 offer. That'll do it for us here on a Thursday edition of Always College Football. Thanks so much for being with us. Thank you for all that have joined us and helped us out throughout the course of the last few days. Thanks for the interactions that you've provided with us on the YouTube channel. And we've had so many people flooding our inbox. Can't tell you how much we appreciate that. I can't believe how many of y'all wanted to have the conversation about a 12-team playoff that is still a couple years away. It's amazing to me, man, the excitement that is building for college football and the direction that we're heading. We're attracting a little bit more of a casual audience. There's no denying that. But either way, I think great days are ahead, not just this season, but in 2023, 2024, and beyond. Remember when everyone said that, you know, college football was dead because of the NIL and because of conference realignment? Yeah, it's not really the case. We'll explain in the off season why this sport might be more popular today than it's ever been before. If you look at the numbers, they certainly can back that up, especially on a week-to-week basis with how many people are consuming college football games. That'll do it for us. For Mark Kubiak, for Jack Foster, I'm Greg McElroy. We hope you have a phenomenal day. And remember, it's always college football. Hey guys, it's Greg McElroy. Thanks for watching Always College Football. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe to ESPN's YouTube channel and wherever you listen to your podcasts.